Thank you, Pastor Pete. I sure appreciate that. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. When Pastor Pete asked me to preach, certainly I was thrilled and looked forward to the opportunity. Began to think about what I was going to preach. And if you preach for a while, you preach a couple favorite messages that you like. And, you know, Lord's blessed them. I think it's perfectly fine for someone to preach a message that God has blessed. And as I began to pray about what to preach, you know, Lord just brought me back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And, you know, this is a message I haven't preached before. And I believe God's put it on my heart to be an encouragement and a blessing to us here tonight. I'm surprised to see at least half of you. Boy, with the weather, I thought for sure no one's going to be here, but we're thrilled and excited to preach tonight. I have a lot to say and a short amount of time to say it. I want to tell you how good God's been to us. I want to share blessings. I want to share testimonies with you, and then I want to preach. I can't do both in the time that's been allotted, so I'll make you a deal. Here's what we'll do. If you're interested and you want to hear all the good stuff that God's had, I have two things to tell you. One is our kids are old enough now, I can leave them at home. So if you decide to take my wife and I out for a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, it'll just be two instead of six. The second thing I'll tell you is it may surprise you, I only like a certain type of pie. I only like pie that ends in the letter E. So if you think about that, that's going to be apple pie, that's going to be cherry pie, coconut pie, banana cream. Some of you haven't got that yet. The word pie ends in E. Okay, listen, if you don't laugh at my jokes, it's going to take longer for us to preach tonight. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 26. Would you stand with me? Matthew chapter 26. We're going to begin reading in verse number 36. We're going to read down for about 10 verses here, have a word of prayer. We'll get into the introduction and get on with the message here. Matthew chapter 26. You know, it's neat how God worked this out. I had When he told me the day that we were going to be preaching, I didn't really think about the people leaving on Monday to go. You're going to see the place that we're going to be preaching about. And had a chance in my study to do a little bit of research online and watch some YouTube videos of people walking around the Garden of Gethsemane. I got to tell you, my heart just started to stir to know that there's a place on this planet where this took place. Boy, that's pretty special. That's pretty special. I'm looking forward to getting there, Lord willing, one day. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. We'll begin reading in verse number 36. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to open the Word and be encouraged by it. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would anoint the preaching tonight. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your power as you preach. Lord, I'd not say anything that you'd not have me to. God, I thank you for the burden that you put on my heart with this message. And we pray that, Lord, we can convey that burden and share it with our church family tonight. Lord, we pray for our teenagers just around the corner here. God, that you do a great work in the life of our youth department. We pray for our teens. We pray for Brother Farrell as he's preaching. God, that you'd use him in a great way. Lord, give us something from your word tonight. It's a cold night. These folks have been working. They've come out of the middle of their work week, and many are tired. God, we need something from heaven tonight. So, Lord, we're trusting you that you're going to meet the need of the hour. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We think about this. immediately, probably before I even got to the parking lot, I began to think about, my goodness, what could I preach to the Cleveland Baptist Church, the Wednesday night crowd at that? And I began to think about how the Lord always knew his audience. He always knew who he was talking to. He always knew what to say and how to say it. And I think about the Wednesday night crowd. I would think about the core of the church. And immediately my mind was, I'm telling you, before I even got to my car in the parking lot that night, my mind began to think about Peter, James, and John. And how the Lord certainly ministered to his disciples. And it got to a point, a very pivotal time in his ministry, where he's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. And he gets to the edge of the garden, and he says, all right, look, I'm going to go pray. I want you to, now we understand this is the Lord's church. I want you to stay here while I go pray. He says, Peter, James, and John, I want you to come a little bit further. And we watch that relationship throughout the New Testament. We see that they had an intimate relationship. They got to see some pretty neat things up close and personal. And I think as we talk about Peter, James, and John, we would recognize them as the inner circle and the core of the church. And so when I think about what God would have us to preach, I immediately began to be thinking about this. And we have to recognize, at the end of this time of Jesus literally pouring his life and teaching and ministry into these men because of what they're going to do, he takes some time to pull them aside, and he gives them a simple message to simple people. That's what I've entitled tonight's message, a simple message for simple men. So we see that he's making this plea to them, and we're going to walk through our first two points are really just going to give us a little bit of a backdrop as far as what the Lord's doing. Our last point, we're going to apply the Lord's message, and I want to talk about, number one, think about the positioning of this message. Think about what has taken place. You know, he's getting ready to give this message to them. It's a special message. It's an important message. But I want to think about the positioning and the fact that this takes place after the Olivet Discourse. This takes place of him telling of end times. He's in a few chapters. And if you go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you see all these things have transpired in just a short hours before this time. He gives a parable about the kingdom of heaven. And in John 16, we see the promise of the Holy Spirit is given. In John 17, we see the high priestly prayer. All these things are taking place before this moment. So we look at a couple of things, and when we think about positioning the message, the first thing we find is a foretelling of his burial. Look with me back in 26. Go to verse number 2. Jesus is sitting with his disciples here, and he says here, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Look down to verse number 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto him, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. He's foretold them of his burial. He said, listen, something's going to happen here. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. We understand this message had been told to the disciples, but we also see a foretelling of his betrayal. Look in verse number 20. And when even was now come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered, said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man, if he had not been born. So we find not only a foretelling of his burial, he tells a foretelling of his betrayal. And last thing we'll look at here, we see a foretelling of his denial. Look at verse number 30. All these things are leading up to this moment in the garden. And verse number 30 says, and when they had sung a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives, then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So we find that in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, the Bible says they all forsook him. I want to, before we get to the garden, I want you to understand what's taking place. The Lord has, he's in these final moments, he's telling them, hey, listen, some very important things are going to happen. Some very pivotal things are going to happen, not just to me, but some things that are going to happen in your lives. And as we approach the message tonight and we think about the challenge that God has for us, it'll do us well to think about some things that maybe God is doing in our lives. See, the position of his message is key because of the timing. I hope you would agree with me that God's timing is always right. He has a pivotal moment. He's at this pivotal moment in his ministry. He's at a pivotal moment in the calling and the purpose of what he's come and the work that he's doing to the disciples. And he's getting ready to deliver this powerful message to them. And I just want you to build up to it as you think about all that's transpired before that. So I would think about this. I'd have to say this has been a pivotal moment in the lives of the disciples as well. As they get ready to answer the call, as they get ready to recognize the purpose that he has in this life. So to think about the not only is it the positioning of the message, but help me understand here the place of the message. We think about this takes place in Gethsemane. Gethsemane means an olive oil press, an olive garden. You know, think about the picture of what's happening here. Jesus is taking them to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's getting ready to pray. Think about what takes place in an olive garden. Well, the husbandman of the olive garden is going to grow olives. For what? Well, they're going to eat them, but they're also going to press them. They're going to press them for that precious oil. In just a few short hours, Jesus, like that olive garden, like the olives, will be pressed for his precious blood to pay for the atonement of our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So when we think about this, it's a sobering thought when you read Isaiah 53. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse number 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." Think about what's going on. Before we get to the garden, before we think about this message, it's the timing of the message, but it's also the place of the message. And we see here, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. When we think about this place, it's a secluded place. It's a secluded place. Look in Luke chapter 22, and look with me in verse number 39. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 39. "And when he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." This was a place where Jesus prayed often. This was a place where he could get alone and he could get away from the crowds and he could spend some time with the Lord. In John chapter 18, verse number 2, when Judas is going to come find him, the reason they were able to find him because it says Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. This was a known place. This was a secluded place where he could get alone and he could pray with the Lord. And not only was it a secluded place, it's a sacred place. Look at verse number 40 of Luke chapter number 22. Listen to the detail that Dr. Luke gives us here as he sees what's transpiring. "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops, were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow." Not only was it a sacred place, it's a sorrowful place. We see here in verse number 45 that Jesus found them, he found the disciples sleeping for sorrow. Turn back to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, look with me again in verse number 36 and verse number 38. We think about, well, you know, what had to be transpired in the hearts of the disciples as they're hearing all these things. As they're hearing Jesus foretell of his death and foretelling of his betrayal and foretelling of the denial, and we hear all these things, certainly this bared heavy on their hearts, maybe not knowing what the next step was going to be. In Matthew 26, look at verse number 36. "Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And took with him Peter and James, two sons of Zebedee, and took with him the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And listen to what he says here. He said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." You know, the importance of this place, the message is important because it's a picture that Christ is painting, the picture of what's going on and all that's going to transpire and all that's going to take place. And all these emotions are building up inside there. And we think about this, he purposely brought them to this garden to hear this message. He purposely brought them at the right time to hear this message. So we think about God's timing, we think about his plan. You know, he certainly knew what he was doing. And before we look at point number three, I think we need to reflect a little bit. What's God's timing been in our lives? And how God's been working in our lives? What's the place that God has brought us to? What are some things that have transpired in our lives that have brought us to this point and this moment? We think about it not just from a ministry standpoint of the Cleveland Baptist Church, but we think about it from a personal standpoint for you and your family at this place, at this time. Well, why is it that God would do this? Why is it that God would separate Peter, James, and John and bring them deeper into the garden and allow them to see this? We're not really told why. Maybe the rest of the guys couldn't take it. Maybe they wouldn't have responded. Maybe they wouldn't have answered the call, the plea that God's going to give to Peter, James, and John. As we begin to think about this, we have to recognize not only was God working because of the position of his message and the place of his message, but I want you to understand this, and this is where the point I want to apply home tonight, the power of the message. Think about this. It's a simple message. And right there, we have it in Matthew 26. The first time he says, look what he says to in verse number 38. "Then saith unto him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." I want you for a moment just to put yourself in the garden. Put yourself, the Lord has called you aside. The Lord has, he's called you out of the church. He's talking to the inner circle, the core of the church. And he says here a very simple message. I like simple things. I have brown shoes, brown belt. Not to be confused, if I have black shoes, all I have to do is flip my belt buckle around, and guess what? I got a black belt. Not in karate, but it's a black belt. It's a reversible belt. It's pretty simple. You know, simple things are easy. Easy to understand. Black shoes, black belt, brown shoes, brown belt. In the midst of all this, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He takes this moment before going to Calvary to give this very simple but yet a powerful message. He says, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." You know, of all the times I've read it, I never caught that with me. I got the watch and pray. And as I began to think about this message, and before I even started looking into it, I'm thinking, okay, watch and pray. Boy, that'd be a good message for a Wednesday night crowd. And then I come into this and I read, watch with me. I hadn't thought about that. Well, the Lord draws him in. And it's a plea for closeness. He says, will you tarry ye here and watch with me? That word tarry means to stay. It means to abide. It means to stay behind, to stay in expectation. The disciples were told to tarry in Jerusalem until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That word watch just simply means to keep watch. It means to be on guard. It means to be vigilant. Many times as husbands, we fail to watch. My idea of shopping is dropping my wife off at the front door. I'll go park somewhere. And then when she's ready, well, I'm watching, and I'm ready to pick her up. Now, I'm getting better at this to go out and actually shop with her. My dad told me, he said, "Son, you need to shop with her every once in a while so you know what sizes to buy, you know what her favorite colors are, and these kinds of things." But my idea of shopping is just to sit in the back and just to watch. And what I found on some occasions, I've found that I've kind of dozed off and as I'm supposed to be watching. And usually what will happen, one of my kids, you can guess which one, will bang on the windshield or on the car and startle me and wake me up. And somehow they think that's funny. So sometimes we don't watch, but here's what I'll tell you. Listen, when it's raining out, when it's really bad weather, when there's a lot of traffic in that parking lot, my eye's on that door. Because she's going to be very upset if she's got to stand in the rain. You understand? because of the intensity of the moment, it causes my senses to be on that. It's not time to listen to a ball game and fall asleep. It's not time to listen to some good old gospel music, amen? Put some gospel music on and just kind of doze off and go to sleep. No, I got to keep my eye on that door because there's a lady in there. Can I just say it's amazing to do grocery shopping? My idea of grocery shopping is one meal at a time. I'm amazed how my wife can go in and just do all the shopping for like 10 days. That's just crazy to plan out all those meals. I'm so thankful for my wife, amen? I'm so thankful for my wife, amen? You men are to be thankful for your wives, okay? So he says here, listen, he goes, will you tarry ye here and watch with me? We think about this idea of with me, and I tell you, it just gripped my heart that God wants me to watch with him. With him. Think about this. Hold your spot there in Matthew. Go to John chapter 17. Don't miss this. This is the whole message. If you missed it, boy, you came out in the cold for nothing. Don't miss this. John chapter 17. Look at verse number 20 and look down through verse number 23. Jesus' high priestly prayer. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word. Here's the prayer. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Amen. Well, think about that. From the beginning of time, as God created man, he created man in his own image for honor, his glory, but for God had a desire to fellowship with man. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. And Jesus is getting ready to think about these things. He's getting ready to say, listen, this is almost over. Our time is coming to an end. I've poured my life into you. I've taught you the things of heaven. I've demonstrated miracles to you. I've showed you that I'm the Son of God. And I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And what are you going to do? He says, will you tarry with me? Watch with me. Boy, I can't get over that thought that he wants me. He wants me with him. One of our daughters had a birthday here a while back. And we said, well, what do you want for your birthday? And she said, she's a Baptist preacher's daughter. She said, daddy, daughter, and donut time. She alliterated it. That's good. She said, daddy, daughter, donut time. I said, what? She said, I just want to go get some donuts with dad. No one else. Boy, that touched my heart. I thought, my daughter still thinks I'm cool. She wants to hang out with me. This is a good thing. I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts. Amen? Amen. That was pretty special. A while back, Brother Mickey had come here, and he's standing right over here. This is shortly after our trip. We had come back, and I think it was our first time seeing him. We met Brother Mickey back in 2005 when Amanda and I went on a mission trip with a pastor friend of ours from West Virginia. And we didn't see a lot of this in the city, but when you get out into the bush, we spent a week out in Nanyuki and Timau and places out there like that. We spent some time out in the bush, and they told us ahead of time. They said, listen, you're going to see some of these boys and these men and young men, when they walk, they'll hold hands with each other, and they'll put their shoulders up against each other because they're friends. And it's not an interlocking, it's like this. And that's just something they've done. They've done it from the time that they're little. They grow up together. And they said, it's a sign of their friendship, their closeness. They said, there's nothing weird going on. That's just a display of love as friends. And we noticed that. And we saw more of it out in the bush than we did out in the city in Nakuru. When we come back after, I think Brother Mickey preached, I'm not sure. But I was so glad to see him. Got up and hugged his neck, said hello to him. And we started talking and we shook hands. And then he switched hands. We shook hands, and he kind of put his hand off to the side, and he started talking to somebody else. And he held my hand there for a little bit. He didn't do it on purpose. I know he didn't do it on purpose. But I thought, man, I'm his friend. Brother Mickey's holding my hand. This great man of God who's doing such a great work for God, and he doesn't even realize it. He's holding my hand like the Kenyans do over in Kenya. And I thought that was pretty special. Can I tell you tonight, someone a whole lot more special than your daughter wants to spend time with you. Amen. Someone a whole lot more special. Nothing against our missionary. I love with all of my heart. Somebody a lot more special than a missionary wants to spend time with you. He says, tarry with me. Jesus wants me to spend time with him, to watch. That's what he said. He said, watch with me. Let me ask you a question. Can you hear Jesus talking to you tonight? Can you hear him saying, watch with me? Remember that word watch means to be on guard. It means to be vigilant. It means to keep watch. Well, what is it that we need to watch for? This world's getting darker and darker. Sin is getting more sinful. Christians are being persecuted. Can you hear Jesus saying, watch with me? The sanctity of your human life is being devalued day by day. Can you hear Jesus crying to Cleveland Baptist Church saying, watch with me? Our bus ministry needs more drivers. We need more teachers across the parking lot. We need more workers. Can you hear Jesus calling to Cleveland Baptist Church? Watch with me. Our families are under attack. Good families are under attack. We need time to give more finances to missionaries. It's time to give ourselves and our children to the worldwide missions. Can you hear Jesus calling? Watch with me. Our biblical stands are being threatened by the laws of our land. Can you hear Jesus calling? He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Watch with me. But what else? I heard someone say this. It broke my heart when I heard it. Mainly because I believe our pastor, both of our pastors, have done a tremendous job of putting Christ at the forefront. And I don't think this is anything against the pastor. It's not a church that we know. But I heard someone made a comment. A pastor had asked them to do something, and they made a comment about, well, what else does he want from us? What more can we do? And boy, it just grieved my heart. You missed it. You missed it. It's not for the pastor. It's for the Lord. We're doing that work for God. So we think about this idea. We think about, well, watch for what? How about this? How about we watch for his imminent return? He's going to come back one day. He could come back today. We need to be on guard against grown weary in well-doing, Galatians 6, 9, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. We need to be on guard against compromise. What should we be vigilant about? We need to be vigilant about the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be vigilant about our walk with God. He doesn't just say, watch with me. Now go down to verse number 41. He finds them asleep and says, look, can't you just, 1 hour you couldn't watch with me? Look at verse number 41. He says here, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I just tell you, this was not a new message for the Lord. This is not a new message to them. They weren't shocked by this. If you go back, turn very quickly, Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Look with me at verse number 32. Mark chapter 13. He says, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye there. This was not a new message to his disciples. Sometimes even the Wednesday night crowd, we can get into this idea, well, we've heard it again, here we go. No. Even though they'd heard it before, Jesus thought it was good to get them alone and get them aside and say, hey, I need you to watch with me. I need you to watch and pray. If we're going to pray, we must repent of sin. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 66. We're finishing up. Psalm chapter 66. When I think about this idea of watch and pray, when I think about the idea of a new message, when I see the transition that's taking place in our church, it's not a new message. They're preaching the same message. They're preaching the same message from the very first day. Nothing has changed. Psalm chapter 66, look at verse number 16. And down through verse number 20. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Can I tell you, if we're going to watch and pray, we have to repent of sin. We may need to repent of sin, of not being as watchful as we ought to be about our walk with our God. Not being as watchful as we ought to be in our marriage, in our children, or our testimony. Maybe we need to repent of the sin of not being as prayerful as we ought to be. You understand, prayer is more than just asking things of God. Sometimes prayer is just praising God for who he is and just expressing gratitude that he actually wants us to watch with him. Sometimes when we think about prayer, we ask God to help us to be more watchful. Send a brother or sister in Christ that can come alongside us and help us to be a better soul winner for the Lord, to help us be a better Christian. Maybe tonight we need to make a commitment to God that we're going to watch and we're going to pray with him. May God help us tonight to recognize that we too, like the disciples, have received a message that is positioned in a very pivotal time in the life of our church, in the lives of our families, in our personal lives. God, help us to get a hold of this vision of following forward. It's not a new message. It's not time to let up. We can continue to go on. We're talking about the inner core, the inner circle, and yet Jesus thought it was good to spend time with them and challenge them to watch with him, to pray, to watch and pray. So the last thing I would say is, I didn't add this to my outline. I just kept thinking about this and praying about it. I think it's a personal message. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with the message tonight? Can you hear Jesus? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 46, at the end, Jesus says, "Rise, let us be going." Mark 14:42, at the end of the prayer time, we hear the same comment from the Lord. "Rise up, let us go." We see in Luke 22:46, he says, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." We sit here, we come together for this message. Well, it's time to get up. We got to go back to work tomorrow. I can't wait to get to work tomorrow. And someone says, "Hey, what did you do last night?" "We went to church. We had Bible study. We had a guest preacher come in and especially talk to our young people and challenge our youth people from the Word of God." So the title of the message was "A Simple Message to Simple Men," but I think it's the same message by the same means. God wants us to watch and pray, and we need God's help to do it. Would you stand with me? Stand with me. We'll have a word of prayer and have an invitation. I'll turn it over to Pastor Pete. Before we pray, I want to say this. A word about prayer. This past weekend, I had an opportunity to go out and take my daughter sledding. Boy, I love sledding. At 41, I don't love it as much as I used to, I'll tell you that. First time I went down, I flipped over. But what happened is the middle of the week, there's a lot of rain. We got that rain. Then it got really cold. So guess what happened to that sledding hill? It got really hard, and it got full of ice. And we had a lot of fun. But you know what I found out? Coming back up that hill, it was all ice, and those little girls, easy for them, almost like deer. They can just kind of dance up there, had no problem at all. I'm not as little as them, less dancing. You know what I had to do? I started to go up that hill, and I fell down. And I started to slide down. Started to go up that hill again, and I started to slide down again. Then I figured, you know what? I'm already down here. Why don't I just try to just crawl up? And you know what I found? If I crawled up that hill, I could make it up there. Amen. We think about prayer. We think about watching and waiting and praying with God. Boy, it's going to take us to humble ourselves. God, you're going to have to do something that I can't do. God, I'm coming before you tonight to help me to understand the importance of watching. Lord, I know a lot's going on in my life, but God, I know that you're speaking to me, and I want to watch with you, and I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray.